Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collins, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Robin McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Robin McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Rob McCarron here, Jeff Hawkins, Shake Them Ropes, episode number 489. Maybe. I have no idea. I don't know what number this is.
Do you know what numbers
we are?
I stopped counting after, I think, 600 something.
600?
Well, because like when you left for your sabbatical,
which I didn't.
I did a few months where I did two shows a week because there was just so much wrestling to cover.
Yikes.
And then I stopped doing the numbers because I couldn't keep track of it, and I kept repeating numbers.
We don't need to do numbers. I mean, you do the topics, so I lowballed us with saying in the 450s.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So Shake Them Ropes, episode 9,108.
I'm good with that.
Here.
Yeah.
Here on the Voices of Wrestling Network, plus wherever you get your podcasts, go find us on YouTube too, and you can watch us, everybody. You can actually watch the eyebrows work when I have no idea what I'm talking about, or when I'm clearly just making shit up. Just watch the eyebrows. But we have some WWE topics today, Jeff.
Okay.
We have some AEW topics to get into. Quite the dynamite for good and bad reasons last night. But I want to start with some of the WWE. And let's talk about the on-television product a little bit first. And then I want to get into some. I haven't seen off-television talk of attendance and ratings like I have in the past week in probably a couple of years, like coming out of the pandemic. So I want to get into a little bit of that.
Okay.
But before that, something that will surely pop ratings over the next 2 months. We have Logan Paul stepping up as the first challenger to CM Punk. And so take everything we said out the window last week when we were talking about, will it be Jey Uso? Will it be Bron Breakker? You know, is Roman Reigns coming back? Is he going to get in the title picture? This is that, you know, Kane, Daniel Bryan. This is when you just need a challenger to be the first challenger to somebody for the title picture. That, I feel, is what Logan Paul is doing here. We're probably going to get a world title match at Saturday night's main event, but even more important, possibly, I don't know what I was thinking with the Wyatt Six being in the men's War Games match. Clearly, they are going to start pushing here towards a vision, maybe Logan Paul and some others in a men's War Games match here over the next couple of weeks. But what did you make of the opening and closing segments of Raw? Logan Paul stepping up as CM Punk's potential first challenger here and joining the men's War Games team if we indeed get War Games from the main event players.
I have said on this show for a couple of years now, Logan Paul, horrible human being, phenomenal professional wrestler.
And
I love Go ahead.
Jack, was he not the hugest that you have ever seen him on Monday Night's Raw? It's like he took the last 2 months to go just get more jacked.
Yeah, I would say that.
And there's a point to that. Like, this guy is taking this gig so seriously to the point where, okay, it's main event time. Like, I'm back in the main event picture. Let's look like it.
Yeah, and I'm kind of here for him in the Vision. I am. I think he fits a little bit. He's a perfect flake type villain too. I mean, that's what I about that angle on Monday, where at first he's like, "Yeah, bring it on. I was here first." You know, talking real big. Then he gets shoved, and then he gets destroyed. And then he says, "I don't ever want that to happen again. I'm going to join them because I can't beat them." That's the perfect weasel heel for me. And that's
so you
kind of
took
is.
That you kind of took that the way I did, where he decided during the show that he might as well team up with these guys because that's more the mission. Like, he started thinking about it a little bit and like, what am I doing? I'm not trying to take on the entire company. I'm trying to take on one guy, get a title. Let's see if I can align myself. But part of that also then becomes is like, is he actually going to be a part of the Vision, or was that his audition? And we'll see now over the next couple of weeks leading in to Survivor Series, will he be a part of the group? Because how is Bron Breakker, how is Bronson Reed going to take that when Bron Breakker clearly is trying to step up to be like main event guy? Will he take kindly to being kind of forced down a little bit?
This is a mutual use each other situation, I think, sure, for a while until they decide to turn on him again and crushes ribs.
I would be all for the next 2 years of just Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed like striving to be those top guys, but every once in a while someone else joins the group, they use them for a month or two and then beat them the hell up. And it's like, why do people keep joining this group? You're going to get beat up in 2 months.
You know, you get your Austin theories in there. You get your
right.
Who's the other Australian? Who's the Australian kid?
Grayson
Waller. Yeah, you know, get those types in there occasionally. Hey, I could join you guys. Yeah, sure, come on in. And then just eventually killing those dudes. Yeah. I'm here for that. Maybe Xavier Woods.
So I think it was really cool that they left a little intrigue with the Logan Paul situation at the end of Raw, because will he be a part of the Vision? Is it still the Vision anymore? Are we going to have three main event players who are just mentored by Paul Heyman, but they're really not like a trio, like a group? Because clearly Braun and Bronson not going for the tag team titles anymore. Braun's made it clear that he should be in that world title picture. I got to feel Logan Paul's going to get that Saturday night's main event in December, because you put CM Punk and Logan Paul and John Cena's last match on there, trying to get people onto Peacock. You're going to get some views for that. And then that can lead into Royal Rumble season. All right. Because is CM Punk going to defend the world title at Royal Rumble? Is that going to be the Bronson or the Bron Breakker? Is it going to be even someone bigger because it's in Saudi Arabia? And then all of a sudden you got WrestleMania. Like, CM Punk might defend this title twice between now and WrestleMania. The way they pace some of these title defenses out, it's possible. And if not just twice, probably only two opponents. I can see him wrestling only two opponents for the title. Maybe one gets an Elimination Chamber and a Royal Rumble. Maybe CM Punk ends up being in one of those matches, the Royal Rumble or the Elimination Chamber. But I don't see him defending the title too much between now and April, which is crazy to think. But that's the way they kind of do it now.
I think there's a possibility that there's a Cena match added in there if they could add a date onto Cena's thing.
Well, but that's they ain't adding no dates. Yeah. At this point, I think it's remarkably clear, but there ain't going to be no added dates. But he's got three left, right? Am I right in saying he's got four left. So he's got the two Raws. He's got the MSG Raw and the Boston Raw. He's got Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the Saturday night's main event.
Correct.
So what the hell is he going to do at Survivor Series here? We've gotten this tournament going on. Mm-hmm. We're going to have Rusev versus Damian Priest. We're going to have Sheamus versus Shinsuke Nakamura. Both matches. Jeff, I feel like these are your types of matches. The big men in the ring battling it out. I feel like that's all two of these matches here, all four of these guys. I don't know why you're not jumping out of the gate to start talking about these four. But is he going to wrestle on the Madison Square Garden show? Cause that's the only time he can do it, because it's not going to be Survivor Series. It's not going to be Saturday night's main event. So, you're running out of time to get a Punk versus Cena.
Okay. Well, Punk versus Cena sounds like a Madison Square Garden type of event. It really does.
Maybe they don't announce anything for it.
Yeah, they tease giving him the title back in the place where he's had his greatest victories, blah, 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 blah.
Because on this run, they've done that, where he showed up to TV and wrestled on TV, wrestled Sami Zayn on TV.
San Diego threw me for a loop because I was certain that was going to be a Dominic Mysterio match. But it looks like it's going to be Rey and him.
It does look like the Dominic is kind of staying away from that. May not even be in the tournament after all is said and done for John Cena's last match. And does Gunther come out and is he a surprise entry in the very last of these first round matches? And does he dominate all the way through? I think it's a question if John Cena even wrestles on either of the Raw he's going to be at. But Survivor Series is the interesting one to me because I mean, are they going to recruit John Cena to be in the War Games match? That seems like a hell of a tall order. I would think with War Games, you would probably just keep a John Cena singles match separate and spread out that card a little bit. John Cena, the intrigue is there. Who's going to show up in this tournament? Who's going to show up and be the last opponent? And what is he going to do with these final four dates he's got going on?
Well, okay, it's not Dominic in San Diego. I see the path to getting John in the War Games match. What you do is you have Logan and Bron Bron recruit Brock, and that's what gets the Usos and Punk to say, hey, John, would you like to join us?
John Cena, it's time for your revenge. Like, this is the one guy you haven't been able to beat. You want to help us try to beat him.
Yeah, because Roman said, don't talk to me until Christmas, and I think they're going to uphold that step. I think those would be the four.
And come on, you have Brock Lesnar going last, you have John Cena going last, they're in there for 5 minutes, you know.
Wait, you're going to keep Brock in that tiny little cage for that whole time?
You're
going
to keep him in that tiny little cage with Bronson Reed, with Bron Breakker, with Logan, staring just flames daggers into Logan Paul. Daggers into Logan. Literally that dagger will come off of his chest and just everyone's face.
Well, what we have is a problem in both companies where they're trying to build the War Games matches where we don't need War Games matches, which is killing me.
No, and the one thing going on in WWE right now that does, like, could theoretically go into War Games is the Wyatt Six and the MFTs. They got the number on each side. They got the animosity. They got both teams trying to prove something. Like, if you're going to do War Games, I get it. They're, you know, mid-card players right now. But isn't that what you should be putting War Games in? Like, these are two factions, feuds, and they are going to go into WrestleMania season trying to be the most dominant faction. Springboard them through a War Games.
I think if you wanted to make that Survivor Series, like, my comfort pay-per-view, Bash 88.
A traditional Survivor Series match?
Well, no. But I mean, you know, you had the Flair, was it Flair Funk or Flair Steamboat? I forget which one it was in that one. But you also had a War Games match in the midst of that. And you had Battle Royale. I mean, but the War Games there was total mid-card stuff. It was the Midnights, Dr. Death, and the Road Warriors versus the Freebirds and the Samoan SWAT team. It's like, okay.
I'll take your word for it.
no, that's fine. But I mean, it was like one of those, it's one of those pay-per-views where the War Games wasn't all the main event players in one thing. And it seems to me the women's War Games has shaped up from this tag team division, which is, it's going to be Charlotte and Alexa, Bayley and Lyra versus the Kabuki Warriors and the Judgment Day type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, very well could be, but you're right. I mean, we're definitely, this is seemingly the most forced of the War Games builds that we're getting in a little while as far as an actual War Games match. But there can still be some pretty cool stories. if Cody Rhodes is in it, if CM Punk is in it, could be one of those pay-per-views where there's not a world title match where the War Games is ending up being the main event.
Oh, it's not more force than the women in Blood and Guts in AEW, though. I mean, if you want to compare across the aisle there.
And you're going to get your women's Blood and Guts. We were questioning that last week, but you're getting it now.
Yeah, with six on six action, you're like, my God, why? There's so many. I hear your dog in the back, by the way.
I know. I was telling her. I know you could read my lips. This is why you got to go watch the YouTube channel, everybody. I'm telling my dog to shut her mouth. He's out there barking like crazy.
I had cats on one show. Dad, I smell like skunk. Dogs on this one. It's fine.
That's all right. Usually she's pretty good and pretty quiet, but someone must have turned a car on outside. She just goes nuts. She just goes absolutely nuts. But before we get into AEW and the War Games that isn't called War Games, called Blood and Guts, which is, you know, been going on for a few years now, and I'm starting to just not care about the name Blood and Guts. Like, if they want to call it Blood and Guts, great. Who cares? But before we get into that, so we have War Games coming up. We have Dominic Mysterio and Rey Mysterio kicking off the rebirth of their feud, continuing. But something that was going on the Twitterverse, on the Xverse, if that's what they call it now, on some of the news aggregation sites and whatnot, have been, you know, WWE Raw took place in New Mexico, outside of Albuquerque. Mm-hmm. And in a 6,500 seat building. So they had 6,300 people there. Kind of a sellout for that building, but obviously about half of the size of crowds that they'll get in larger cities, and especially larger cities over the last few years. And SmackDown has been having some trouble. The Friday SmackDowns, when they're not the hottest of the hot, always tends to have trouble filling those Friday night wrestling shows. Ratings, with Nielsen's new way of counting ratings and just the lessening of how many people are watching the shows, the ratings have certainly been amongst the talk of WWE. Are you getting into any of the, oh, WWE is getting set for a downturn, their prices are too high, no one's watching the show, no one's going to the show? Or are we just kind of numb to, like, yeah, there are ebbs and flows, and let's face it, people are spending less money as we head into Christmas on anything, not just pro wrestling, not just other events. Where do you stand on, am I just making things up? Am I seeing things, or have you been seeing some of this talk too?
No, because I'm a Wrestling Observer subscriber, and Dave has been talking about this quite a bit, but I am also of the opinion that there are ebbs and flows. Yes, I think a lot of this talk from certain talking heads want there to be an opening for AEW to gain in popularity, which isn't going to happen anytime soon.
I love the AEW and the WWE warring, like, fake Facebook accounts that are like,
yes.
Even AEW is selling out collisions now. They're on the rise, and the collision audience is like 1,500 people because they're in a theater.
I mean, overall, I think this is something that needs more data to be true. I think the Friday SmackDown rating is a result of A, Halloween, and B, Toronto being in the World Series for the first time in 30 some odd years and possibly being on the verge of beating the highest paid, one of the more popular franchises in baseball. I think that was driving interest on television. The Albuquerque thing, that was their first time Raw was ever in the Albuquerque area.
I know. I couldn't remember the last time I saw, oh, WWE's in New Mexico. It would have been one of those times when Vince was in charge that they didn't even say the name of the town. And they kind of barely didn't, because they kept saying it was in downtown Albuquerque when it wasn't. And it's like, he would have just said New Mexico. Like, yes. New Mexico on there, it wouldn't have been, you know, whatever rancho something that it was in.
I tend to think they were trying things for two reasons. Well, number one, possibly the Southwest and trying to expand that with their AAA partnership or whatever. But also, B, this is the hot period of the NFL right now, where we're trying to figure out teams and stuff like that. So I think they, as a strategy, are playing smaller buildings to not force, you know, I mean, Albuquerque doesn't have a football team. So
they don't have a lot.
They don't have a lot anyways, but it's one of those places where they are probably starved for some kind of entertainment. They play this smaller building. They get most of the house in there. And
every building is going to be gigantic. I mean, there have been Raws, you know, in my neck of the woods in Fort Wayne, Indiana, there have been Raws, and that building seats about 7,500 for WWE.
Yeah.
But they'll still go there, and they'll say live from Fort Wayne, and it'll be fun.
Yeah, they'll play the Anaheim Pond out here instead of one of the major LA arena types of things. Or
not every venue is going to be the 15,000 seat arena in Chicago or the 20,000 seat arena in Boston. Not every place is going to be that.
Yeah, and in terms of, like, there's been a lot of weird chatter about, oh, look, WWE creative isn't as hot as it is. Yeah, this is the down period. This is when they rest up. and this is which is funny. Silly season, and they then they gear up for WrestleMania, and then it's hot again. Okay,
jeez. And the way everything is so stretched out, even though there's, you know, two Saturday Night Main Event within a month and a half period, you got the November pay per view and Survivor Series coming up here. They still have been stretching things out to where it's like, okay, we got to stretch out to the Royal Rumble, and then the Royal Rumble match gets us through that pay-per-view. So we really have to stretch out all the way until February and March with the Elimination Chamber. And then there will be some Saturday night's main events in there too. But not everyone is wrestling. We're not always getting a title match on every single PLE. We're not always getting John Cena, CM Punk, the main event players, Roman Reigns, all wrestling on these shows. So we can stretch things out a little bit. So it's like, oh, it's November. It's early November. We have a long way to go to WrestleMania. Like, surely they're not in the in the lull period right now for that. Yeah, it starts earlier than ever, the way they've been spreading out some of these main event matches, the way the PLEs have six or fewer matches, usually just five nowadays. We really get to see things stretched out, kind of how it was back in the day before WWE in what, 96, 97, went to pay-per-views every single month, being big shows, where they, you know, they could have an eight-man tag main event in your house. That's what we're kind of getting now with the with certain PLEs and War Games. As much as it might be, okay, all our main event stars are in this War Games match, it's still kind of an eight-man tag to get away from this pay-per-view and move on to the next one. That's effectively what it's doing.
It's just keeping the Survivor Series branding because it's historical, but Survivor Series doesn't mean anything anymore.
No, it's just the November show. It's Thanksgiving weekend.
It's a stadium show, though, so I mean, it's kind of a big deal for them.
No, absolutely. It's a big deal. It'll look pretty cool, too. I mean, San Diego, Petco Park looks pretty cool. So that'll be a fun show. We're getting close to seeing what the true card for this show will be. I mean, we probably should see almost everything kind of spelled out next week on Raw.
Yeah, they don't do a lot of surprises. I mean, it is a glacier pace of doing creative every year or every week. And you see the people that they're going to be doing.
It's kind of refreshing too. I mean, it makes you ask questions. It makes you see what's going on. It makes you want to anticipate the future shows. At least it does for me. The way they're doing this right now is working for me. I will say that because things are making sense. And yeah, I might see Logan Paul and CM Punk all the way through January, but at least it's going to make sense all the way through January. And we're not just getting some random person coming in to get a title match for no reason. So,
and if you watch it, if you watch it for good wrestling matches, you're getting that too with like the tag team title match with Dragon Lee and AJ Styles, which was really good. And I'd say that women's tag match with the Kabuki Warriors and Lyra and Bayley was quite good too. So
it was hot. It started hot. I mean, the crowd was into it from minute number one, which putting Lyra with Bayley and the Kabuki Warriors is probably the first thing that's really getting. I know people do the woo for the theme song and, you know, they're prompted to do some different things. But Lyra's going to come out of this being what Liv Morgan was when she came out of some of these programs like this, where it's like she belongs. Liv Morgan belonged right away, and then Lyra belonged right away. Liv Morgan, it took her a few years to belong, and now she's there. She needed a program like this.
They tried this with Lyra, Bayley, and Becky. And Becky just kind of ate Lyra alive a little bit. Yeah. Now Lyra's able to kind of be the main character in this feud, so to speak, with Bayley doing her am I a heel, am I a babyface this week gimmick, which will probably end up biting everybody in the War Games. That's the way I'm figuring how it ends.
Because there were moments there where Becky was doing the, you know, I'm Hogan. You know, I'm going to eat everyone up. And then it's like, yeah, no, that's true. Yeah, you are eating. It may not be what is intended, but you are eating everyone up. And that's sometimes that's okay.
Go play with Maxine Dupree for a while. You can eat her alive.
And now play with Maxine. So there's good stuff there. I thought Becky coming up on the announce table and getting her shots in was really cool. Becky on the mic is what she was a couple years ago when everyone started loving Becky on the mic. She's back because there was some time there where it was a little rough. But ever since the CM Punk AJ Lee feud to now, she's probably been at peak Becky Lynch on the mic again.
I would say so, because Becky's problem is people want to cheer her. And then when she turns on the heel stuff, it kind of gets a little grating, but I did enjoy the Breaking Bad reference in Becky's promo. I thought that was quite good.
Yeah. I mean, you're in Albuquerque. What else are you going to say? Like, true. Someone had to. Someone had to. It's time for our first ad read before we talk AEW. Got balls? Shave them. Manscaped. All right, let's get on to AEW.
Yeah. I thought, hold on, we have an ad read finally again? Okay. Oh, Rob is frozen on me.
Are you back?
I'm back. Are you back? Good. I accidentally hit my, I think I hit my thing, so I'm good. We're good. Let's go.
Okay, welcome back. Jeff, let's talk the red on my thing.
Nope, we're good again. I just plugged it in. It's a loose wire on my part, so I plugged it in and we're good.
All right, Jeff, we're back. Let's talk a little bit about the real big news. Like, I didn't want to open with this.
Okay.
The big news of the week, earth-shattering. I almost wanted to do like a breaking news audio last night, but I held off. I held off. AEW is introducing the national championship. It's getting and me back.
And soon new to follow. Titles. Follow with the AEW Brass Knuckles and the AEW Western States Heritage titles. Oh,
the hardcore title for Darby Allin.
Yeah, the lineage of the national title is not. I looked at it last night and I just remember, oh yeah, Crockett brought it over from Georgia where it wasn't that great because it was a mid-card title. And then eventually it became the title known as the one that Buddy Landell held when he was fired for doing cocaine and missing a Saturday morning taping.
So this is supposed to like reference the long history of the NWA National Championship.
Yes.
But there still is an NWA National Championship. Right. There is a current champion.
Yes.
Of the NWA National title. Mikey.
Mike Mondo.
Mike Mondo. Mikey is the NWA's national champion. So, again, we merged the international championship. And I know last week on the show, I kept calling it the international championship when it's the unified championship. But we merged the international with the Continental Championship?
Yes, with the Continental Classic Champion. And also, I believe the ROH Pure Championship was in there somewhere, too, it was the three titles. But even before that, this used to be what? The All-Atlantic title?
All-Atlantic turned into the International.
Yes.
It just turned into it one day. And it's like we're renaming it.
And that was going to be the touring title. And they're saying this is going to be a touring title of sorts until they put on somebody who's like, nah, I ain't going to any small indie show and
it's an interesting idea at that, but you're right, it will fade away. It'll be the main events of Collision. They're really just looking for a title to main event Collision with, and that's what it'll end up turning into. But who are they gonna give this to? Because is it gonna be one of the many members of the Don Callis family? Is it going to be someone who's like
it's
an Ricochet. Eddie Kingston?
Well,
it could be Ricochet too. And the more title belts thing, it's like, here we are talking all summer long about, you know, merging the international and the continental isn't enough. Like, there's more titles that can be merged or done away with, but let's fix TV.
Rob, more. Well, you had a title that could main event on Collision. What channel is Collision on again, Rob?
Collision, as we all know, is on TNT.
Yes. And we have a title called the TNT title, correct?
We do.
Ah,
we do.
Ah,
I forgot about that one too. Well, eventually that TNT championship is going to merge with this national championship because I don't know if they, I mean, at some point it's like, do we tie ourselves to a title of TNT when we may not always be on TNT?
That's true. Well, then again, the national title also has a long history of being merged with other titles. So, it merged with the U.S. title when Nikita had it when he was fighting Magnum TA. Yeah.
Tony Khan's going to be just really meta and be like, yeah, I started this title so I could eventually do away with it.
And eventually we're going to have like an all belts tournament. It's going to be everybody with a title to be who's the king of kings.
The Continental Classic. Whatever.
Yes.
The Continental Classic will just only be people with titles, whether they're the Trios Championships, which, those still exist. That was your main event of Dynamite using the Trios titles to get over this Hangman Page and Samoa Joe rematch. As we are less than, we're just a little over 2 weeks, I believe, right? It's well, coming up. I think we're around 2 weeks.
Let me be fair here, because people are going to jump down my throat and already have on Twitter about, 2 weeks well, you're not being fair because WWE also has a too many belts problem. At least NXT does. And I agree with them. Yes. The AAA title, the TNA's titles, the mixed tag titles. Look, you can have as many belts as you want as long as you make the belts mean something to the people who are holding them. That's my only problem.
Here's the difference, right? Is yeah, you do have the set. Well, speed, okay, but some of these are left to NXT, and I'm at least all the NXT titles aren't showing up on Raw or aren't showing up on SmackDown, because every once in a while you have that ROH Pure Champion, ROH TV Champion. Athena's walking out, and some, you know, Mercedes Moné is walking out with ROH titles being as equal to all her other championships. So you don't get that much bleeding into the other brands as far as the championships go. But WWE, again, does a really good job of focusing on those champions and those championships and making an entire Raw about one or two of those titles, making an entire SmackDown about one or two of those titles. And you know when the next defenses are coming up. You know who the challengers are for these championships. You know the lineage and all of the things that are happening around them. Whereas next week on Collision, you might get Okada versus Brody King for some reason. Try to be the main event for the one title, and no particular reason why Brody King is getting that defense, no particular reason for having the match, no interest in having the match, because it's just a random title defense versus something actually having a week or two of story going into. So that's the big problem.
4.5 stars from the sickos, and they'll love it.
Because if you had a shit ton of titles, but focused on them for different parts of your show and actually made them seem something, you could have 20 titles.
Yes.
People could make that work. The reason why I think a lot of fans call for less titles is because they're tired of trying to keep track of who the champion is when you're not able to keep track. Like you, Tony Khan, you, AEW, aren't even able to keep track of who these champions are and what show they belong to and who's defending the titles when and where. So, yeah, that is happening. The AEW National Championship.
Yes.
And then a question I have for you, Jeff, because... Okay. We have the match that's going to determine the new national champion. It is a casino gauntlet happening at Full Gear. And my question to you, why is everything a casino something or other? Because it started with All In, with Double or Nothing. These were casino themes.
Yes.
Full Gear ain't no casino theme. Revolution ain't no casino theme. Why do we still do casinos for everything?
Because in each of these casino themed things, there was always a surprise involved. And so all of these matches have the allure of the unknown. Like in this one, it's the most ridiculous. 21 people have allegedly been selected to be in this match, but we don't know all of them, and we don't know if we're going to get to all of them. And basically, all it is Tony doesn't plan well enough, so we have these things, so he has more time to plan. That's the only reason.
The planning well enough is certainly a critique that I would have. There's not a lot of thought of where this is going to go. It's just like, what can I do next? It's like the worst parts of WCW that people always talk about towards the end, right? Is like, I just need to fill this TV show. I'll worry about next week's TV show next week when I'm just trying to fill that one. And then let's see where we're at pay-per-view time. If I have to make Lex Luger wrestle three times, or if we actually have a full card. Like that's where we're at right now.
No, I agree. And it's like the cards where it's like, oh, he announced on Twitter 2 hours ago that these matches were happening on Dynamite. Oh, yeah. I'm like, I'd like to know the week before what's going on the next Dynamite so I can get excited about it. But it's one of these things. Well, you know, if everything has to be AEW Mystery Vortex all of a sudden. I'm just like,
And to me, you can announce things during the show. You can tell us in the opening or whenever of what's coming up on the show. That's completely fine. To me, Tony Khan trying to announce things on Twitter actually hurts. Like, announce it announce it on TV somewhere, whether it's the day of or the week before. But I ain't checking out your Twitter, fool. I ain't doing it.
I have an odd theory about this, in that the attendance policy is so lax that he's looking around backstage for whose plane has finally come in. And he goes, I'm going to have you two wrestle tonight because that'll be a banger. And then he announces it on.
He shows up and like, oh, she is here.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, let me put him in the Collision main event. Go for whatever title. Who else is here? What champions do I have that are here? Oh, Sammy Guevara, you have a belt. Go up against Ishii. I don't know what your belt is. What is your belt again? Okay.
I think he's part of the ROH tag team champions or the ROH six-man champs. I don't know which, but it's one of those two.
Well, you got to have multiple six-man champions, multiple trios champions in your universe. Having just one is not enough. You need more. But that's been getting to me lately, is because, yeah, it used to make sense having everything be a casino, whether it was a casino gauntlet, casino battle royal. That's just their branding now of it. That's the Royal Rumble to them, is calling it casino.
Yes.
And whereas blood and guts can kind of make sense, casino don't make no sense no more. So
right. And it's gotten to the point where we don't even have to plan how long the people are out there, because remember, in these casino battle royals, in these casino gauntlet matches, the time is random too. So we could just
time is a construct. Time is what time's going to be when these casino matches happen. You never know. I mean, you could be playing a blackjack hand for 3 minutes. You could play one for 15 seconds, right? Number 21 coming to the ring might be the ace in the hole.
Well, I miss the actual battle royals where it would be like, okay, here's everybody representing the spades and they all come out like all, people, and then they have the wild card at the end. I missed those. I hate gauntlet matches.
When five dudes led by Sean Spears would just walk through the aisle all at one time, and they're like, okay, they're all walking nice and neat in order, but in a moment they're going to be fighting, they're going to be battling, but they have to wait till they're in the ring,
till they're in the actual ring, and then you'd have number 21 and be, oh, here's the wild card, this special guest that we've brought in to just lose. Here's Leo Rush.
Or to win it all. Yeah, Leo Rush, Ricochet, or to win it. Who knows? MJF. Maybe this is the belt for MJF. Because you talk about the national championship being the touring championship, even though AEW doesn't have house shows. Like, they're going to send him to indies, even though Tony Khan's been like anti-indies over the last year. MJF comes and wins it, says, I ain't going to Paducah, Kentucky. Like, I won't even defend this title on TV. Like, you're lucky if you get me at Revolution, bro. I'm just the national champion.
I'm not going to GCW.
I'll go to GCW, and I'll throw this belt in the trash. I'll go to MLW, and I'd rather fight for the MLW title. But on that note, MJF has been in the news. It looks like his filming is close to done, and we're pretty confident he's going to be showing up in some capacity at Full Gear.
Oh, yeah, he comes out after the... I think I brought this up here, but you know that stupid stipulation with the he has to announce he's cashing in the contract a week before he actually cashes in the contract?
Or anyone, because he doesn't have the contract no more, right?
No, he does.
He does still?
Yes, he does have, he has the contract still.
I've lost this.
So I'm of the opinion that there's a paperwork malfunction of some sort. Ooh. And MJF will have announced, but Tony Khan didn't realize it. And then he comes out at Full Gear and steals the belt from Hangman or some dumb thing like that. I think he's going to come out and basically shoot a shot that at All In next year, or maybe even Revolution, who knows, that he wants the title shot. I mean, that's it's in New Jersey. It's a perfect place to bring back MJF. I think he just comes out and says, I want the title shot. I think that's all it's going to be, really.
Of course, MJF won that title shot in another casino gauntlet. That's right. We just had one a few months ago, and here is another one for the NWA National Championship. He's got this guaranteed match. The last match with Hangman Page was not for his guaranteed title. It was an earned title match. See, that's where I was forgetting.
Well, because remember, it became part of the angle where it was like, Hangman was going to make him sign, and he signed it. And then the next week, they basically said, "I don't want to have signed this contract. Give it back to me, or else I'm going to murder Mark Briscoe." He threatened to murder Mark Briscoe.
He did. Yes, and you referenced Tony Khan. I mean, these cash-ins can't be money in the bank style anymore. They have to be announced and booked. The irony is that Tony Khan needs a week notice to get promotion done for these matches.
It's the best, isn't it? It's like, I can't promote any match more than 2 hours before showtime. But I need a week to build this. I need there has to be posters made, radio spots.
He wants to book these dream matches the day of, and they're dream matches. People will tune in for this, and every dream match involves like Hechicero these days. Every single one.
Or some mid-carder from New Japan who's there for the week vacationing. He's taking his family to Florida or something.
Which at this point is Hiroshi Tanahashi, almost. When we get closer to Wrestle Kingdom, we'll have to get our final guesses in. I don't know if they're going to announce it super far in advance, but who the final opponent for Tanahashi might be. Because every time I read something, it's like less likely to be Okada, less likely to be Nakamura. It's like those are the two. Those are honestly the two that I would choose. But what do you make of Mercedes Moné and Athena being out of the women's tag team title?
When the Sisters of Sin won that first match, you kind of knew that it was this tag team title tournament also plays right kind of into Tony Khan's thinking of, I want to reward the people who have been here a while with their mid-card tag team title matches. So I think the Babes of Wrath are probably going to win it all, to be honest with you. Because it feels like, I feel like it's time for Willow to have a title of some sort for some extended amount of time. I love the Athena. I love these team, though. I thought they were fantastic last night in terms of their double teams and things like that. The match itself went a beat too long for my liking because Willow got a hot tag and then she got another hot tag and the crowd was just like, seen it already.
I just feel like there was a lot of ways they could go if Moné and Athena got to the finals and Moné's going for more belts. Whether they win it or lose it, like there's just so much you could have done and now they're just out of it. And like maybe that will lead to something between Moné and Athena. Maybe it won't.
That's where I thought it was going. I thought it was going with Mercedes starting to eye Athena's title and go, you know what? I want that one too. Right. And that's what made it interesting for me. And then you just look and you go, okay. So Willow and Harley just beat them. So now that story is no longer there.
At the risk of fantasy booking, I mean, wouldn't that have been an ending sight as Athena takes the pin in the finals of this tag team title tournament, costing Moné a belt. And Moné just looks as the ref gives Athena's belt to her. And it's just like, I'm leaving here with something. Mm-hmm. And then there's the deal. There's the gimmick. But yeah, Moné and Athena being out kind of surprised me being this early in it, no matter who their future opponents would have been had they won. So that is kind of AEW. Any big notes from AEW or WWE's week of television? Any NXT thoughts that you might have? Even though right now I'm kind of NXT'd out. I'm following along with what's going on in the show, but I am not watching 2 hours on the CW.
No, NXT is NXT. I mean, I'm happy that Thea Hale finally has something to do. Unfortunately, it's with Joe Hendry. There's something weird about Ricky Saints's thing where he starts a fight and it just gets his butt kicked by Trick Williams. That was kind of thing. Have you been following the Ridge Holland story at all?
We can talk about Ridge Holland. Ridge Holland suffered a brutal neck injury wrestling for TNA, probably going to be out for a year at least. And during that time being out recently, he was told that they were not going to renew his contract. His contract was expiring at the end of November. And then Ridge Holland decided to make some social media posts about how WWE was screwing him. And WWE decided, well, we're not going to put up with this. You're gone now. We're not paying you for the next few weeks. You're gone now, bro. I mean, what are you doing? This goes back to talking about we've You've learned from, I heard a Braun Strowman interview this week. He's got a USA Network TV show. He's using the Braun Strowman name.
Yeah.
Well, that TV show notwithstanding, I'm not going to watch a show about eating a bunch of food. It's just not one of the things I usually like to watch. But Braun Strowman is out there using the name, getting some of these television deals, things outside of wrestling, but still somewhat on the abstract connected to WWE. But he ain't going out there in interviews talking about how WWE screwed him, WWE fired him, blah, blah, blah. Karrion Kross sometimes does this kind of on the edge where you can tell he would love to go back. So he's going to be a little careful. At the same time, though, with his character on these shows that he's working, he's got to be somewhat kind of anti-establishment. So he's working a tightrope line there. The point is, you still were under that contract until it was over, and you were not taking the high road and seeing if potentially in the future they might bring you back, maybe look for gigs elsewhere. And no, you decided to be problem child and talk about how you're screwed. And now he has a GoFundMe where he's taking donations while he's going to be out with injury for some substantial time. And there's some pretty upset people at WWE for not just firing him during this injury, but now cutting him loose a little early.
Nick Jackson gave to his GoFundMe $1,000. That's kind of
quite a generous people giving him money.
Here's the thing. Rich Holland has a point, but it's also one of those things where WWE is also within its legal bounds to do what they did. They are doing. Here's the problem: is that people are very upset that WWE is doing the bare minimum. They are taking care of his rehab and his surgery. But they're also saying, oh, yeah, we're not going to pay your salary while you're doing the rehab and the injuries because your contract ran out. And we're not obligated to pick up that part of the contract. And I think people do have kind of a point where it's like, look, every other star that gets injured in WWE gets injury time added on to their deal. This is one of the rare times.
If they want you, because if he gets injury time added to his deal, I mean, his injury time, his remaining deal was 2 months. They would add 2 months. He would make a comeback on NXT and wrestle four times and be done. Like, you're not going to pick up injury time on this.
No. And the other part of this is, of course, the fact that he was doing the company kind of a favor going to TNA and doing this show. And that's where he got hurt. Everybody has a point here, and everybody's also kind of wrong here. Because, Ridge should not be in his feels online. He should not be doing that at all if he wants to keep his money.
Right. You want to hire a lawyer and see what you can go after. That's something, but guess what a lawyer is going to tell you? Shut the hell up.
Yes.
As you know. I can see, obviously, both sides. You can see both sides. You can sympathize with Ridge Holland, but WWE as a company is right. Picking up everything injury related without paying him for nothing for the next little bit when they agreed to a set time on it. And he may not be able to wrestle, doing that. But I'm going to sound, this is going to sound terrible, and maybe I shouldn't even say it.
I know where you're going with this. And
he can go get a job.
Yeah. But let me ask you something. What do former professional rugby players turn professional wrestlers? What kind of jobs can you get when you're physically unable?
Yeah, when you're physically unable. Things? No, it's going to be ridiculously tough, and I think that's why a lot of people are really upset about
it. It's not like he has a degree in accounting to fall back on. Correct. Yes, I will go crunch numbers.
Bear trapper, alligator wrangler. Now you probably Walmart have to cleaner. Have a neck that works. I mean, there's stuff. No, I, and again, I'm just kind of saying that to say that that's their point of view, WWE's point of view. We're not stopping him from working somewhere.
Right.
He can go work anywhere wrestling. He wants to.
Yeah.
But, well, they're not even stopping him from wrestling. He can't wrestle right now. If he went to TNA and became an on-screen character, or went to NWA and became an on-screen character, he can go be an on-screen character. They would not stop him. That's kind of their side of the story there.
The things that he would naturally go to would be things like, you know, working in a warehouse and lifting things and stuff, and he can't do that.
Yeah, no, it's a bad situation. It's going to be a bad look. WWE is kind of of the angle here, I'm assuming, where in a month people are going to forget about it, and it's not like it's going to be a lot of bad press on their part, right?
And so, WWE has the resources, and thus they're going to be the ones that take the brunt of the blame.
Oh, they are,
they
for
have
sure.
more. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's absolutely it's not a win situation for anyone, but that kind of sucks. It is the way things go at times for sure. Any TNA parts? We got a TNA Turning Point pay-per-view happening in 8 days.
I was going to ask you this point. I was going to ask you something about AEW. How do you feel about this Hook push that's going on?
We can talk about Hook because that probably is the right amount of time we had to talk about TNA there, because there's no matches for a pay-per-view in 8 days. Even though it is happening at Full Sail University, which is kind of cool. Hook. I mean, well, they were the losing team. Obviously, they're pushing Hook up at the kind of the detriment of Eddie Kingston, because Eddie Kingston made this big comeback, and now he's the third guy in a trio with Hangman and Hook. It's been interesting to...
The guy they should be building, the guy they should be building in this thing is Hobbs. Hobbs should be chewing scenery being a heel and no selling for Hook trying to lift him. It's like Hook looks like a child in the ring with Hobbs.
Well, no, he does. Yeah. Yeah, but so does Darby Allin, and Darby Allin's winning every match that he's in at this point. I mean, in the world of AEW, size does not matter. And that's not saying it's wrong or right, but you can be the smallest guy in the world and still be, you know, pushed to high heaven and see what happens with them. But right now, I mean, Hook made this epic comeback. Eddie Kingston made this epic comeback, and they're just in a program right now with six dudes. Like it's trios riddled. I know it's about Hangman. It's about Samoa Joe, and they're the side pieces, but Hobbs is lumped into this too, right? I mean, Hobbs is the Bronson Reed of the main event group angle right now, where he's the big heavy guy, but everyone's focusing on the other guy. Everyone's focusing on Samoa Joe. Everyone's focusing on Bron Breakker. And we'll see eventually you got to think Samoa Joe is going up against Will Hobbs, but I don't know how soon that's going to come or if it even ever happens, because these things you think make sense to do in the future don't always happen in AEW land.
Yeah. But it feels like they're also building up Hook for a heel turn. He's tapping too quick. It feels like almost kind of like a Moxley type thing. Turn him in, put him with the put him with Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta and Pac in that crew.
I was really happy to see Claudio Castagnoli get another win. I mean, I know it's been Kyle O'Reilly and it's Roderick Strong out there. It's not been against the highest level of names, but at least they're giving wins to Claudio out there to make him a significant factor as we head into Blood and Guts. So
I was happy that his offense finally did something. You know, that's one of those things where it's like he's doing that giant uppercut and it looks brutal and it would usually be like 10 seconds on the ground and then back to doing the next spot. At least this one, he pinned a guy with it, which was nice. Yeah. But this is all leading up to Moxley being the Larry Zbysko from 92 in the War Games, right? Where
I'll take your word for it.
Okay. well, where he quits to blow it for the rest of them and then they turn on him.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Eventually. I mean, also the way Pac's been coming out. I mean, like, give Pac some time being kind of like the leader of the young boys and the leader of the group.
I'm here for this. And they need to do something with Garcia. Maybe Garcia learns from Pac how to have a personality and stuff within this group, because otherwise he's nothing right now after that.
Death Riders / Blackpool Combat Club just feel like it's been going on since COVID, because maybe it has been, but it's been going on forever. And one of the most interesting things to me about Blood and Guts is, could this be finally the start to the end of the John Moxley group?
I think it just gets Moxley out of the group, but I think the group goes on because they just added a new player into it. And I think it's one of those things where I don't know this for a fact, because we talked about this on my show last night, but the Kyle O'Reilly injury feels like the way to either get Nigel or Bryan Danielson into that Blood and Guts match.
Ooh, interesting. Jeff Hawkins, will Bryan Danielson wrestle in Blood and Guts?
No, it will be Nigel. Did you want to end it there?
End show. End of show.
Hi, I'm Case Lowe, co-host of the Open the Voice Gate podcast. The one question I'm constantly asked when it comes to Dragon Gate is how do I get into the promotion? Well, stop asking and start listening to the Open the Voice Gate podcast, released every Wednesday on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. For exclusive news and show reviews, look no further than the leader in Dragon Gate coverage, Open the Voice Gate.
Hey everybody, my name is Jesse Collings, and I am the host of the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, a show right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. On the Gentleman's Wrestling Podcast, we take a deep look at individual issues and stories that are going on in the wrestling world. Each episode is about a different topic, and we take a thorough and educated look at things ranging from current booking trends to breakdowns of individual performers and angles to investigations into different fan cultures across the industry. In addition, we keep a close eye on the wrestling media, and as a professional journalist, I bring a unique perspective to how current issues in wrestling are being covered and discussed through the wrestling media. We have a revolving series of guests from across wrestling punditry joining us on each episode, and we hope that you make the choice to give us a listen on wherever you get your podcast from.